This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto here, and join me each and every week for insights from my guest host and an industry first, a live virtual job tour, a Take the Automotive Trivia Challenge, Unwrap Your Fortune of the Week, and a whole lot more. The video version of this show is on aftermarketweekly.com. Hey to all my automotive aftermarket peers, as we ripple the water of the automotive aftermarket, 12 noon East Coast time, where would you rather be than Tuesdays right here, right now? I hope you're safe. I hope you had a great Easter holiday. Hey, we have this really cool broadcast that we do each and every week. You know what's fun about it? It's kind of like a TV show, but it's not. And, you know, we go all over the country and we talk about different things. And the aftermarket doesn't do anything like this, but we do. And you know who else would do it than me for you? And that's us. It's coming to you live from the Dorman OE Fix studio. We do this each and every week. You can watch it live on our website, on Facebook, on YouTube, all those really cool things. Welcome, Carolyn. How are you?
Great to see you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you. Luscious Garage, probably the first hybrid repair place ever in the country out in San Fran.
That's me. Yeah, well, I mean, we had other folks in SF that were working on hybrids for sure before we opened, but we were the first shop to really kind of hang our shingle and say we were hybrid specialists. That was going to be our focus. So,
and of course, the CEO of Shopware. How cool it is to have a shop management systems CEO, actually a shop owner. That's just cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it comes in handy. Domain expertise. It's a thing.
And a long-term sponsor and friend. And thank you so much for being here. Wanted to have you on in our, I think, 48th week here of doing this. Hey, I did a podography on you.
Whoa.
Yeah. Episode 149 of Remarkable Results. You and I first met and we did a really cool episode. And you were on a Carmcast Roadmap to Future of Auto Repair. And then EVs, The Future Unfolds. The Town Hall 197, Adapt or Die. Everything that Carolyn comes on and talks about is, we think you have the pulse of the aftermarket in your hand and always on your mind. And then, of course, we did one with you and Scott back almost a year ago. We were in Colorado together. That was
ASA Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was so much fun. So today, everyone, here's our agenda. Carolyn is going to come by and basically how she sees things. And we're going to have fun. We're going to have a shop tour. We're going to do his trivia. And, of course, we're going to give you the fortune of the week. Hey, we've been doing this all over the country, 48 weeks now. And the really cool thing is they have the guest on and we just kind of kibitz and talk about some stuff and have some fun and share some wonderful passion and insights. But then we go out and we give you a shop tour. I'll never forget Kenny Weddow last week was showing us his brand new place. And I was amazed at the lean, all the principles of how everything has its place. And I'm going to have him back on the show to go a little deeper into lean. But that was so much fun to see. Hey, if you're with us on social media, love that you're with us. Please check in with your city. Give us a like, a comment, or share this show. We just love to do this. And you can catch this show not only on the website and watch the video on my YouTube channel, but it is a podcast and it flows right inside the Remarkable Results radio stream. Love to have you. If you're not followed on any particular listening app, do that so you can listen to this show while you are mobile. I got a great trivia question. You ready for this one? Always a big challenge every week for me to come up with this. What was the classic three-pointed star of the Mercedes-Benz logo meant to initially symbolize? Yeah. All right. Think about that one. And no fair cheating to go on the web and try to find an answer to that. Just no, don't do that. This show is brought to you by Dorman, and we have a really neat new product to show you. Hey, we all know that fixing cars is different than how the OE builds them. Now, take fuel lines, for instance. Fuel lines run and rust along with the chassis of the vehicle by nature. Now, especially in the colder months, trucks can be exposed to snow, salt, or rain, causing failure due to the corroded fittings, deterioration in the line. Now, to help you in your wallet, Dorman Products team of engineers have redesigned the typical fuel line. Introducing Dorman's flexible stainless steel braided fuel lines. Made from braided stainless steel over flexible PTFE tubing, this upgraded material features a corrosion-resistant design. Each fuel line is an exact fit with the dimensions of each application. Now, improved durability is the highlight of this new design. This innovation is a Dorman OE fix, which means it's something that the original manufacturer doesn't offer. These fuel lines are quality assured and backed by their team of product experts and more than a century of automotive experience. Hey, want to learn more about Dorman's innovations? Visit DormanProducts.com/tour. Hey, everybody, I just booked a live tour at Dorman in June. We're going to do this show live in Philadelphia in just about a month. Hey, coming up this Friday, guess what we're going to talk about on the Town Hall Academy? Of course, Carolyn sponsors this show. Thank you for that. We're going to talk about tires. They go round and round and round. And, you know, Chris Cotton's a coach, and he's going to be on with us, and he's got a tire background. And Mike Gorton and Darren Ode, they're not tire guys. They're shop owners that believe that tires are an important part of your business. Okay, Carolyn.
I was having some flashbacks to those wrenching in Michigan, looking at that Dorman ad. Those are beautiful replacement lines. I was like, wow, anyway.
What do you want to talk about today? This is your segment here.
Well, I mean, I appreciate you wanting me to come in and sort of riff on what's sort of latest and greatest in my world. I was reflecting actually on some of the things that I'm struggling with at the moment, which has to do with hiring and some new help in my repair shop. And I've been working with Chris Cotton recently, and he's been awesome, both in terms of supporting our existing staff. And obviously, you know, one of the things when you're trying to get more help in the business, you got to keep all the help you currently have happy. So that's been really important and key. So that was sort of what was on my mind. But, you know, one of the things that all of this gets back to, I mean, whenever you're trying to hire folks into your business and sort of fitting the pieces of the puzzle together, is really about trying to do more than what you can do individually, right? You're trying to architect a structure that can run and get a heck of a lot more done, high performing teams than you can necessarily, even though you're tempted to, even though, you know, you'd like to get in there and do all those diagnostics and talk to each one of those customers and, you know, make sure the QC was followed exactly. You can't do it all. So how do you find the folks to do it? But, you know, one of the things that I was reflecting on, sort of piecing this together to be able to share with you today, was the fact that you've been able to do so much. I mean, I turn around, you get a new show like every 6 months, like you can't stop, Carm. So I thought I'd turn the microphone around and ask you sort of how you do it. How long have you been doing Remarkable Results? That was the first show, but I mean, how long have you been podcasting?
I can't believe the interview's about me. Wow. You know, one thing I know about Carolyn is she just knows how to say this and go there. Thank you for that. I get how long? 6 years now. Almost the anniversary was March of 2015.
Wow. And I remember we were at IGONC conference. I think that was 2019.
Could have been, yeah.
Maybe 2018, the years these days. But you said that you'd gotten some awards for your podcasts.
Yeah, I have. I got the Motor Press Guild Podcast of the Year. I did a great episode with this gentleman who was a sculptor of the original Mustang. He told stories about Lee Iacocca and Henry Ford and how they actually created this unbelievable, iconic car. And he was this Italian immigrant. And he told his entire story of how he came to Windsor, Canada. I love that episode. I got to know Giuliano Zuccato really well. And so I submitted it and I won. Then I went to L.A. to the Peterson Museum to get the award. And of course, I was recognized from AutoCare with the Mort Schwartz Excellence in Education Award, which is exactly what I believe, Carolyn, that we do each and every week with all these shows that we produce, all the different themes. It's about education. It's about insights. It's about being a fly on the wall. There's a lot of people that don't network, but the podcast gives them that networking ability without having to travel or go anywhere, because now they're listening to people discuss and talk and pick up a new idea that they don't have to travel and be in meetings. Some people do meetings well, some people don't.
You know, this whole industry, I'm always blown away at how we're helping each other. We're creating our own success. I was speaking on a podcast with Luke Underwood and David Roman that they do for ASOG. And we were talking about how, you know, there is this inherent prerequisite to folks in this business to be able to teach ourselves, you know, like we're a bunch of autodidacts. And if you don't know how to figure out the car on your own, you're not going to be able to grow in the service. But yeah, you take training and you are obviously gathering stuff from other folks. But, you know, by and large, we're very self-directed. And then to the extent that we watch sort of the training and then now, you know, the podcasts and the other kinds of content that we're able to share with each other, I mean, it's very rare that someone from outside of our industry is in the front of the room or on the, you know, on the podcast or whatever. It's really, it's remarkable. And so how have you found that you've been able to keep going? Because you've just been incredibly tenacious, both with the content, but also just the value of the content. I mean, like, what drives you, Carm?
I don't know. I really don't. But one of the things, Carolyn, that I am is I am driven. I always want to learn something new each day, which I think transcribes into new and different topics and new and different types of shows and formats. And I'm a giver. And, you know, I've been in the industry my whole life. And I wanted to, how does all that kind of nuclear fusion together and create this energy ball of ideas? Ideation is a top strength of mine. Responsibility, I give. So it was almost like, I wish I had done this 10 years earlier. And I didn't, but yet podcasting 10 years ago was truly in its infancy. But today, you know, we're moving from podcasting to video to a show like this. And I think my daughter, Tracy, who just came to work for me, can attest there isn't a day that we don't talk about, ooh, I have another idea, or I have something we should do, or let's try this, or let's flip that, and let's do this scene or that scene. And I just never, I'm the Energizer Bunny, Carolyn.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I share that with you. I feel like there's just always something else to get done. And again, how do you fit it all in the day? So where are you getting your inspiration these days? So how do you keep fueled up?
If I ever can't make it, you should take my place, because that's a great question.
But I'll be your Jay Leno to the Johnny Carson, or that's great. Yeah,
absolutely. I love that. Inspiration comes from every place I could, you know, reading books. Inspiration comes from actually watching some crazy TV, some commercials, and or reading magazines. And I'm always looking. If anyone reads my blogs, for example, you'll see a couple of weeks ago, I did one on maple syrup and how I went into a sugar shack and saw that thing and related it to our business, right? I'm always looking to say, how does this fit with us? And there's a lot of people that have mental blocks, Carolyn, and sometimes they're too close to their problems, too close to their issues to see it. So I love to go out and find stuff that may break the code for someone, even if it's one or two that says, oh my God, I finally got it. And sometimes it takes something that simple to have someone say, you know what? I need to hire a coach. I need to join a networking group. There is no such thing as secret sauce. Why am I holding the fact that I am struggling in my business? And why are all these other people doing so well? And I want to kind of close this segment with you. And I know this is about you, not about me, but here's the deal. When I started, I felt by just speaking to so many coaches and trainers in the industry that we had like a top 10 cream to the top in our industry. And recently, I just asked a bunch of coaches, where do you think we are now? Can I be so bold as to say that our industry has creamed up to the top 20%? And they all agreed with me. So the point is that what we're all doing together in our industry to help people go and grow is that I hope in another year and a half, we can say that our industry is elevated. Now we've got 25% on top. And when we are and we're helping each other, it won't be long where we've elevated the entire industry. There's always going to be the bottom feeders. But we have got to groom and grow our top tier, the people who want to be in business.
You get to look across the whole aftermarket, right? I mean, like, you don't, of course, as a shop owner, you know, as a fellow vendor, as someone who's, you know, very close to the folks that are fixing cars every day, you know, like, I tend to riff on the content that you've got that is a peer focused for me, but you have opportunities to interview all sorts of people across the aftermarket. And I know a ton of folks across the aftermarket listen to the show. In a way, I cherish the fact that this is one of the few areas where there's a lens into the operators, into the people who are actually fixing cars across the aftermarket, because it's very easy for the aftermarket to take us for granted. I was going to ask you two questions. I was going to ask you, what are you most concerned about right now for the aftermarket? And then I was going to save the best for last, which is, what are you most excited about? So let me start with the concerns, because you get to see across all. We've talked about EVs, we've talked about Tesla, we've talked about right to repair, blah, blah. You know, what are you feeling these days?
I'm very concerned that we're not paying attention to filling our ranks of technicians. And so if I have been on my soapbox, Carolyn, lately, my soapbox keeps saying apprentices. When I look at other industries, they're creating journey people by bringing on young people. McNeil's just graduated a person who was in, it was a pharmacy tech, into their apprentice program because it wasn't for them and they wanted to work with their hands. They always grew up around cars. They were intrigued about them. So yeah, we've got post-secondary, we've got all kinds of graduates, maybe 36,000 a year that I think we graduate in post-secondary. But if every shop decided to put an apprentice program, an official, honest-to-God, Department of Labor-sanctioned apprentice program, in a couple of years, 3 years, we would be, you know, growing our shops, having such an influence in our industry. It's up there. And, you know, I'm getting ready to, you know, really do some writing on proof of concept. And in fact, it was Chris Cotton who came on a show a while back, and he mentions this word proof of concept, which means if you were doing all this stuff before COVID, you slid by COVID. And if you weren't, boom, you needed to be doing this. Well, I grabbed onto that and started to realize that what's 22, 23, 24, year 2025 going to be like if we don't start now thinking about that stuff? Forget the pandemic. Just the challenges of doing business. So apprenticing is in my top two of what I think should be done. But we're over our segment time. You made me talk too long.
I can't ask you what, well, it's your show. You decide, but I can stop talking.
Your second question was?
What are you most excited about?
What am I most excited about? That's a real, real tough one. I'm excited that we actually may start seeing each other in the flesh. I'm going to a conference first weekend in May. I got my second shot. I'm at awe to see the security measures, the safety measures that are being done at the conferences. And I think we're all pent up. And I'm excited about the industry opening up again.
Absolutely.
Fair?
Fair.
Thank you, ma'am. Hey, wow. I would only let my friend Carolyn turn the tables on me. It's amazing. Hey, don't forget, every podcast is archived on the website. Go to remarkableresults.biz, find the Aftermarket Weekly page. Hey, a fortune cookie of the week. You know, we always do. We always open up a fortune cookie. This is my lunch, by the way. And let's see what great wisdom we can all share this week. For light, go directly to the source of the light, not any reflections. Wow. For light, go directly to the source of the light and no reflections. Thank you so much. Wow. Here's what's coming up today. Released a really cool episode with Matt Fonslow, Bill Nalo, and Keith Perkins on Scan Tools Part 1. It was a wild show. We really enjoyed it, and they're going to come back and do a Part 2. I did something really different. Last Friday, I released an episode with Matthew Haugen. He is a drift racer, and I've never done anything on drift racing, and that was a really short, nice, fun episode about this young man's career goals. And the podcast that came out last Thursday, which was a, of course, repurposed show that we did. You know, I've done the decades, 1970, 1980s, and we did the 1990s. There's Keith Polavik, Keith Katz, Scanner Danner, and Ryan Koyman. And of course, that guy with the almost brown or blackish hair to the right is what I look like, I think, in 96. 96. So that was always so much fun. And it looks like we do have Max in the background. How exciting. Hello, Max.
Hello, how's it going?
It is great.
How can I help you today?
We'd love to see a tour of your shop, Max.
Okay.
Why don't we do the trivia? I don't know if you had a chance to think about this at all, Carolyn. What was the classic three-pointed Mercedes-Benz? Here's what it meant. Daimler engines in land, air, and sea back in the early 1900s. That was that. Max is in the studio. And those screens behind you, Max, are they basically cameras in the shop? I see.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So you can easily see what's going on. So I'm going to do my best to see what's going on here.
Look at these cars. Look at these cars. Max, is that in the showroom?
Yeah. So we have Porsches, GT350, Mustang starting up.
We were just talking about this car.
I know. Look at this.
Into all tools are organized. They have drawers that they go into. Everything has a number and so forth. So you can find it on a database. All parts are removed from cars, get put in a tote with a number. Again, all tools have numbers. They have a database and so forth. So things like that make it better. Try to have inventory of everything thoroughly monitored and so forth. Some of the scan tools we put there and so forth, then down to even the dirty part is organized. You know, just the process, each car has a number and so forth on it, and that follows it through from when the parts come and so forth and are received. I'll show you the illustrious bathroom because some people enjoy the bathroom.
It's so, so impressive. One of the things, Carolyn and Max, that I noticed was that there's yellow striping on the floors so that we don't get hurt, we don't go out of line. Amazing how you've got that shop so organized.
Oh, yeah, it's just over a long period of time, you know, that this has taken. It's feel like never done. You're always on a race to try to make things better. You can never rest on your laurels. The more you make successful, the more you need to do. Simply put, I can taste the threshold of efficiency. So I've always been passionate about automobiles. Fortunately, grew up in an environment my parents had. Jaguars, Rovers, Citroens, strange cars. So I had an affinity for European cars. My father passed away from lung cancer when I was 12. Mm-hmm. I took cars as to be auto therapy. So I got a Volkswagen Beetle. Didn't know how to work on it, so obviously I learned at 12. And then just expanded upon that, expanded. Always been passionate about cars. Cars can transcend far more than just cars. Their art, their history, their business, their economics, their sociology, they're a ton of things. They are as versed in so many fields that you want to make it. Long story short, I worked at a Ferrari dealership, a restoration shop. I worked with 962 racing Porsches, so I got a really warped view starting into it that I didn't know when you went racing that not everyone had a hospitality semi. And so forth. And I was really blessed because when I was 18, I was driving Ferrari F40s and so forth. So when you're that age, an exotic, you know, $500,000 car doesn't mean anything. It's like that blows your mind. You have no construction of understanding how expensive that is. So I've always been fortunate about that. Went into auto dismantling with a stepfather. I did all the work. Long story short, he took all the money. Went to Mexico, left me homeless. I had to start over from zero and then built this shop from nothing. I rented a shop that birds would fly in through the holes in the roof and, you know, your coffee would freeze and it'd be 130 in the summer on the back wall. You go through that. I mean, I had to start with a shop so small that I had to move it to the side to open the other door. And I don't say that as woe is me, is that I appreciate everything and everything in life is transient and it's not without the effort. So the shop I started, I built, it was gravel inside, an extension cord, one light bulb. You know, people, it is as difficult as it is today, and it takes an epic amount of money to start. If you keep pecking away at it, and you have a dream, and you have a passion, you can apply it. And it's, I think so many people see it as some ethereal thing that they can never have a chance to. I lack any formal education. I lack even graduating from high school due to circumstances. But again, if you speak to me, I've spoken at lyceums and everything else, which I get a chuckle out of because I don't have any credentials. I think passion is the driving force that a lot of people are missing in their life. And as a company, we've just introduced our apprentice program that comes with a 4-year degree. And everyone here is passionate because life is precious. And I don't want placekeepers. If you can't be passionate about what you do, there's no purpose of living. And we live in America where whatever you do, it may be momentarily and you're not passionate, but you need to have a goal that the zest for life and you need to accomplish that. And I think that's infectious, just like many workplaces are stagnant. One thing that's constant with us is change. And, you know, that with it, sometimes you have to toss away some new systems and go back to old systems or this or that. So I'll cut to the chase with shopware and how it's been instrumental. Initially, several years ago, I did a stutter start trying to do it. I'd been using Mitchell Forever and 5 days, not fully utilizing Mitchell, but it was a patch system with some other vendors to sort of create an experience that was a little better with pictures and so forth. But I was very much disappointed with Mitchell, but they were there's two big dogs, that and All Data, you know, and so neither one really fit the bill. So we made the big leap and finally pulled the pin and went back to shopware because they'd made some evolutionary changes, as they always do. They're always making changes and really implementing everything. And what separates a small shop to the professional big shop is everything gets tracked and so forth. And it's a painful thing when you've had years and years of bad habits to undo it, but it's a lot easier when you have a new system. But man, you know, we have it, so we know when we need to order oil, we know everything's documented, and customers enjoy it very much. It isn't without its difficulty, but like anything worth anything in life, if you want to have a good physique, if you want to have an extra set skill, it's going to take work, and it always does. But if, you know, what is the old saying? Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different success. And with Shopware, yeah, it's a push, but it, at the end of the day, it's a better product. There's a more connection with the consumer and the creators of it, where the other companies, you're just a number and they don't care. And quite frankly, the whole basis is that they're like, it's a mindset of database. And so it's so horrible. I can remotely access this anywhere in the world. The customers can. There's documentation for everything, and documentation is king, and the transparency, and customers really enjoy that. And when you start dealing, it's much easier to not sell, but educate the customer. Here's your leak. Do you want us to take care of it or not? Here's the estimate. Opposed to this industry is beset with a black eye, and anytime you can make it transparent, it just allows it a lot easier for everyone.
Wow. I love your humble beginnings, Max. It's just a typical all-American type story. I was emotionally touched by it. This is the second time I've heard it. You talk about getting all of your problems put behind you and creating one heck of a beautiful business that you have. And it's kind of, if you will, a little mini empire there. And he's a systems guy, Carolyn. He's a systems. He loves systems and processes. It's, you know what? And I always say that systems and processes win wars.
Well, like we have a, you know, system that when a car, the tote belongs in a certain corner of the work area, there's a process. And at the end of the day, I'm finishing everything up. So we give a COLA for everyone so that your pay is based upon, you don't have to make an argument like milk costs more. So we're able to take the matrix, and very little is the warm and fuzzy. How do you play with others? The rest of it's based upon data, and it allows a person to know they're being treated fairly and squarely. And it's not about personalities. And as much, if you have a system, then people don't feel that they're being sanctioned unfairly. They know what the expectations are. You go down the road, it's 55 miles an hour. If you get a ticket for doing 65, 70, you understand it. In the workplace too, everyone sees anything and you can catch it before it's a problem. And before, it was really hard to manage people and be fair and equitable, because people, as much as we like to consider them blocks, you can't. Each people are rewarded in different ways. But if you put forth, here's a program, just like we have with the apprentice program, here's the thing, you're going to have to invest, we're investing into it, and it just allows transparency on all borders. It's like, if the technician knows that a quart of oil retails for $13.50, then they'll have more respect. I explain to everyone, the more money that's on the table, the more I can spread it around with everyone. And what's fair and equitable to everyone. We aren't giving things away because that's unfair to us and the company. We're not charging for services we don't do because that's not fair and equitable for the customer. We're not reporting things a vehicle needs, because if you went to the doctor and you had a big wart on the side of your face and you're there to have your hearing checked and the doctor didn't mention anything about that, you're like, whoa, it's our responsibility to educate the customer. And that's all we do. And I think transparency is, the only people that don't embrace transparency are the people that have things to hide. And it takes a lot of work to make sure you're transparent and you're comfortable with everyone viewing everything.
An incredibly simple strategy of integrity. I love it.
It's hard. It pushes me. I get up very early to make sure that everything's lined out and that everything's succinct. Everyone, we're still learning systems, and everyone reminds everyone. I said, by all means, so we have weekly reviews and so forth, that by all means, hold me accountable, because it's not different because I'm on the other side of the fence. So we need to be fair and equitable to everyone. And the big thing is, as long as everything's said with a positive viewpoint, it's not said with malice, you can tell me anything.
Max, I love how humble you are. Carolyn, any comment on this great tour, this great business?
I had the pleasure of meeting Max a couple of years ago, and his passion in person, you can imagine, is even greater than what we're experiencing over the shop tour. But Max, I mean, it's always just such a pleasure to connect with you and feel your passion, and it inspires me. Thank you.
And I thank you too, because if I don't do right by other people that are passionate about what they do and involve myself with them, then and that's why I don't like using anonymous entities. The reason that you are your company is that passion. That's why it's important that I elicit and use those products where people are passionate. It takes a little more effort, but if I'm going to be a conscientious consumer and want people to be conscientious and seek our shop versus another one. I need to do the same for others. I can't. The street is not one way.
Hey, thank you. This went beyond my expectations, Max. And I appreciate the tour, but I also appreciate that wonderful dialogue at the end. We learned an awful lot of great things about you. We bring another Aftermarket Weekly to the end. Next week, we're going to be out to see John Epstein at John's Automotive in La Mesa, California. Great guy. Love John. And I do know who my mystery guest is. It's going to be Donnie Hudson. I just finally got the okay. I just got the okay so I can talk about it. Hey, it was great having you all here. Carolyn Cocolette, Luscious Garage, and the CEO of Shopware, and Maximilian McDonald from Maximilian Motorsports, Chehalis, Washington. Thanks, guys.